Welcome back to The Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. It's 2:30 in the morning. I did the thing where I accidentally stayed up way too late. Today we're talking about part 2, chapter 30 of Anna Karenina. And Anna Karenina. Is that what I said? Who was this semi-pretty Russian lady that Kitty was so interested in? And is anyone else struggling to get invested in these characters? Oh, computer, please stop making donk noise. My computer's going donk, like that. I don't know what it's trying to tell me. Speak English, computer. I don't speak donk. Wow. Okay, I Am Norwegian has written a humongous comment. It's about twice the length of the actual chapter itself. And at the start of it, he's written, Anda, you don't have to read this. It went on for way longer than I intended. Ha ha. Now, you mentioned Kierkegaard a lot. I can see Nazis and Hitler and Stalin mentioned, Soviets. You've gone and talked about Zossima. Wait, Zossima? That's from another book, isn't it? I won't read that comment because it is very long and it is very late. But I think, go along to the subreddit if you're not already there, because I don't read every comment. And there's a lot more interesting stuff to discuss. Mini Owl said, I'm quite happy to read about Kitty again. Anna and Vronsky both kind of annoy me at the moment, and I'm somehow not interested in what will happen to them. I have much more sympathy for Kitty and Levin. Yep, Levin, I'm more interested in Levin at the moment than just about anyone else. Anna and Vronsky annoy me as well. Karenin annoys me as well. Dolly, bit annoying. I like Dolly's husband, what's his name? Mate, I just can't remember. I can't remember names in this book. What's going on? Oh, my computer is just doing things. Oh, everything's annoying. Swim said the mama fish. He said, question one, who is this semi-pretty Russian woman? The easy answer is she's the companion of Madame Stahl. The more complicated is she is presented as the exact opposite of Kitty. I can't really remember what Kitty was like in order to think about what her opposite might be, unfortunately. I know that she was the one that got really interested in Vronsky. And then, you know, that didn't work out for her. Right? Am I right there? I think I got that right. Sorry, my computer decided to turn itself off before. Well, I never usually turn this computer off. I just put it on sleep so that when I open it back up again, everything's ready. You know, all the stuff I need to do with the podcast is all up and running. But for some reason, it's restarted itself during the day. And so now it's like reloading all my apps and programs. It's doing donk noises. I don't know. Question two was, is anyone else struggling to connect with these characters, to invest in these characters? Swim said the Mama Fishy said, I think that is intentional. Tolstoy disdained Russian high society where he revered the country. Right now he is showing us how vapid and inconsequential he thinks their lives are. I found his descriptions very droll and actually a very welcome comic relief from the angst in the previous chapters. Jan Brunt said, I am also really enjoying the shifts in tone from character to character. I know everyone hates Steva, but he is definitely a bit of comic relief in some very heavy, heavy storytelling. I like Steva. I actually like Steva. I mean, his marriage sucks. I'll give him that. But I like how he just doesn't seem to really give a shit. Tolstoy's doing it on purpose, do you reckon? Because he just wants to show that everyone in high society is a bit superficial. Maybe that's the case. But Not to always refer back to War and Peace, but in War and Peace, that's set in Russian high society as well. And he doesn't... I don't know. I found it much easier to connect to those characters and invest in those characters. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just that something he's doing different in this book. Chapter 31 of Anna Karenina goes like this. It was a dull day. It rained the whole morning, and the patients, with their umbrellas, crowded the covered gallery. Kitty was walking with her mother and the Moscow colonel, who swaggered gaily in his short German coat, bought ready-made in Frankfurt. They kept to one side of the gallery, trying to avoid Levin, who was walking on the other side. Varenka, in her dark dress and a black hat with turned-down rim, was pacing the whole length of the gallery with a blind Frenchwoman, and each time she met Kitty, they exchanged a friendly look. "Mama, may I speak to her?" asked Kitty, following her unknown friend with her eyes and noticing that she was moving toward the well, and that they could meet her there. "I will inquire about her first, and will speak to her myself," answered her mother. "What do you see particularly in her? I expect she's a companion. If you like, I will make Madame Stahl's acquaintance. I knew her sister-in-law," added the princess, raising her head proudly. Kitty knew that her mother was offended that Madame Stahl seemed to avoid making her acquaintance. Kitty did not insist. "She is wonderfully sweet," she said, looking at Varenka, who was hardly a tumbler to the Frenchwoman. "She does it." "How absurd your infatuations are," said the princess. "Come, we'd better turn back," she added, as she noticed Levin coming toward them with his lady, and a German doctor, to whom he was talking loudly and angrily. They were just turning to go back when they suddenly heard voices not merely loud but shouting. Levin had stopped and was shouting, and the doctor was also excited. A crowd collected about them. The princess and Kitty withdrew hurriedly, but the colonel joined the crowd to find out what the noise was all about. In a few minutes, he overtook Kitty and her mother. "What was the matter?" asked the princess. "It's shameful and scandalous," replied the colonel. "The one thing to fear is meeting Russians abroad. That tall gentleman has been quarrelling with the doctor and insulting him because he is dissatisfied with the doctor's treatment. He shook his stick at him. It's simply shameful." "Oh, how unpleasant," said the princess. "But how did it all end?" "Luckily, that. You know, the girl with a hat like a mushroom, she's Russian, I think," intervened the colonel. "Oh, wait, sorry. I read that wrong. Luckily that, you know, the girl with a hat like a mushroom, she's Russian, I think," intervened, said the colonel. "Mademoiselle Varenka?" asked Kitty in a pleased tone. "Yes, yes. She knew what to do before anyone else. She took that fellow by the arm and led him away." "There, Mama," said Kitty. "Are you surprised that I admire her?" The next day, watching her unknown friend, Kitty noticed that she was already on the same footing with Levin and his young woman as she was with her other proteges. She went up to them, talked to them, and acted as interpreter for the woman, who spoke nothing but Russian. Kitty begged her mother more than ever to allow her to make Varenka's acquaintance, and much as the princess disliked appearing to take this first step toward getting acquainted with Madame Stahl, who allowed herself to be proud of something or other, she made inquiries about Varenka, and having learned particulars which allowed her to conclude that though there might be little good, there would be no harm in this acquaintance, she herself approached Varenka. Choosing a moment when her daughter had gone to the well and Varenka had stopped in front of a baker's shop, the princess went up to her. "Allow me to introduce myself," said the princess with her dignified smile. "My daughter has fallen in love with you. Perhaps you don't know me. It is more than mutual, princess," replied Varenka hurriedly. "What a good action you performed yesterday for our unfortunate fellow countrymen," said the princess. Varenka blushed. "I don't remember. I don't think I did anything," she said. "Oh yes, you saved that Levin from unpleasantness." "Well, you see, his companion called me and I tried to soothe him. He is very ill and was dissatisfied with his doctor. I am used to looking after invalids of that kind." "Oh, yes, I have heard that you live with Mentone, with your aunt." "I think, Madame Stahl, I knew her sister-in-law." "No, she is not my aunt. I call her Mama, but I am not related to her. She adopted me," answered Varenka. and blushed again. This was said so simply, and the frank and open expression of her face was so amiable that the princess understood what made Kitty so fond of this Varenka. "Well, and what about that Levin?" "He is leaving," answered Varenka. Just then, Kitty, beaming with joy that her mother had made acquaintance with her unknown friend, returned from the well. "There, Kitty, your great wish to make acquaintance with Mademoiselle Varenka," prompted Varenka with a smile. "Everybody calls me so." Kitty blushed with joy, long and silently pressing her new friend's hand, which lay passively in hers. But though her hand did not return the pressure, Mademoiselle Varenka's face shone with a soft and pleased, though rather sad, smile, which disclosed her large but splendid teeth. "I have long wished it myself," she said, "but you are so busy." "Oh, on the contrary, I have no occupation at all," answered Varenka. But at that very moment she had to leave her new friends because two little Russian girls, the children of one of the invalids, ran up to her. "Varenka, Mama wants you," they shouted, and Varenka went with them. All right, there we go. Another chapter down. Kitty got to meet her crush. How lovely. Have your say about this chapter over on the subreddit. Thanks for listening. And I will see you tomorrow.